1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
You say you're embarrassed to be an American after 9/11.
Well, Phil, I'm embarrassed to be an American after 9/11 because a year after 9/11, there have been no other terrorist events. And
you mean no other terrorist attacks after 9/11?
Yeah, and on a daily basis, we're crying about it. We're worrying about what's going to happen next. Let me explain to you and your listeners, America is having a very hard time coming to terms with 9/11, I think because we feel stupid. After 9/11, nothing happened. And here we are a year later with egg on our face. We're waving the flag. United We Stand bumper stickers. We're singing God Bless America. And for what? Lines at the airport. And our European friends have been laughing at us, too.
Well, we had a terribly traumatic event, an enormous event in the history of this country.
Yeah, and it was the only one. I know I see this in my practice all the time as a marriage and family counselor. I see people making a bigger thing out of something than they should.
Are you said our European friends are laughing at us?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, I travel to Europe on business. I have several friends in France and Germany. And when we go out to restaurants or we travel through airports, when Europeans find out that you're an American, they do something that has been taking on steam over there. They start to cluck like a chicken. They start to put their hands up into their armpits and do the chicken wing and do a kind of a chicken walk.
So they're mocking Americans in Europe?
Yes, sir. I was in Luxembourg.
Because we're what? We're chicken? How does it make us chicken that we are on guard against another terrorist attack?
It makes us chicken because we ran around thinking that there were going to be other terrorist attacks and there were none. And so we're being a little bit like babies. I wanted to tell you, Phil, I was in Luxembourg and I was at a rail station, and my wife and I were traveling into Austria on a skiing vacation, and some of the people on the platform, when they heard me speak and knew that I was an American, and there were a group of about six of them, they put their hands into their armpits and they did the chicken walk like they were pecking at feed. Now, this is a kind of a humiliation that we let ourselves in for. This is what the world thinks of us. And there hasn't been anything after 9/11. We've tried to make something happen.
Well, what did we try to make happen? I mean, we had the anthrax attack.
Yeah, but that turned out to be domestic. We even went so far as to think some plane crashing into a barbecue pit in San Dimas was Al-Qaeda. Americans, since 9/11, have been walking around with egg on our face, acting like chickens. And for those of us who travel on business to Europe, to hear Europeans like French and Germans doing that barnyard sound, that cluck, 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 like a chicken, to me is an absolute outrage. And Phil, I do travel extensively. I don't know if you do.
I've traveled a little bit. We're talking, by the way, with Dean Wheeler, who is a marriage and family counselor, who is advising that Americans have to face the fact that over the last year we were big babies about 9/11 because nothing else happened. There was no other terrorist attack. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, as we talk to Dean. And we're also going to get into a workshop that you're having called confrontational therapy. To answer your question, no, I don't travel as extensively as you.
Well, all right, but after 9/11, people will find out that you're American, and they try to embarrass us. I've had many Europeans come up to me and go, boom, you know, just to see what I'll do, to watch me jump, to watch me get frightened.
Well, don't you feel harassed?
I feel embarrassed. I feel embarrassed for myself, and I feel embarrassed for our country.
Well, I guess we've suffered a very serious trauma, and the rest of the world doesn't understand what's happened.
Well, I think the rest of the world gets it. They've lived it much longer than we have. What we need to do is admit we blew it. Admit that when a small dog is approached by an angry dog, they roll onto their back and they submit to the larger, stronger dog. I think we have to submit to the fact that we're big, fat chickens, and we're acting like big, fat wedding babies. You know, this is the only way that we're going to be able to confront the fact that since 9/11 we've overreacted, and I think that's the one point I want to make here.
All right. Your workshop, you talk about confrontational therapy.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, in our workshop, we learn to face the reality of ourselves. In our case, here in America, we figuratively, what we did for the last year is we wet our pants. Figuratively wet our pants, and we have been standing there as a nation for the last year in a puddle of our own urine with our pants soaked. You know, the only explosives that have gone off in this country since last year was the fireworks on the 4th of July, and even then millions of us thought it was Armageddon. This is absolutely embarrassing.
So as a country, we stand there with wet pants standing in a yellow puddle.
That is right. The way we...
Now, you say we need to come to terms with this before the entire world.
Right. We have workshops.
Tell me about the workshops.
The workshops, in coming to terms with what we've become, big babies, what does a baby wear? A diaper. And around in San Francisco area, as well as other major cities, those people involved in our workshops are in public areas. I was in the Midwest last week, and we forced people to either put on a diaper or be humiliated. We have set up a screen-changing area.
You're making people put on diapers. Why?
To acknowledge that we have been diaper-dirtying babies since 9/11, and that we stand there in a puddle of our own yellow urine.
This sounds to me like you're trying to get people angry.
I want people to get angry enough to confront the fact that we have been babies. Put on the diaper, mess yourself, and get it over with. And that's what we're doing.
1-800-449-8686 is our number as we talk to Dean Wheeler, a marriage and family counselor who believes that we need to confront the fact we've been big babies since 9/11, since there have been no other terrorist attacks in this country. All we do have are long lines at airports. And now you are forcing people to put on diapers, and you've set up changing areas near major malls.
We have screen changing areas. And
this is a really unusual, and I dare say, a step that hardly anybody would take. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, we've had people. What we do, Phil, is we tell people that if you put on a diaper and you confront the fact that you're nothing but a big baby, and you get over the fact that since 9/11, that is what America has essentially been, a country full of chickens and babies, then we are able to go ahead, and if you want to mess your diaper, go ahead. If you want to, do number one, that's fine. But the point is to confront it.
And so people willingly go into a changing station, put on a diaper, and what, they wear it for the rest of the day?
It is a way of role-playing. That's exactly right.
All right, and if they don't want to put the diaper on?
Well, let me tell you something, Phil, before I go there. Do you have any idea how humiliating it is to be staying at one of the finest hotels in Europe, and there's a knock on the door, and it's a chambermaid who puts plastic on your bed as a joke, as a practical joke?
So all over Europe, people are making fun of Americans for being big babies about 9/11.
That is right. And what we do in confrontational therapy is...
Well, you didn't tell me what you do if people don't want to put the diaper on.
Well, if they don't want to put the diaper on, then we will play a sound effect. Let me show you. Now, this is essentially, if I can find this for you, Phil, what confronts all of individuals who don't want to put on diapers. This is essentially what we do. We show them how they've been wrong. And you can listen to this as they walk into the store. Now, you can hear that, right?
So you're humiliating them.
We're confronting them with the fact that they're acting like babies and chickens. Since 9/11...
All right, let me ask you a question. If I'm a man who survived the terror attacks on 9/11, or for whatever reason I was able to maybe survive the terror attacks on the airplanes, all right, and I am fearful, are you going to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have fear about more terror attacks.
If there haven't been any, what are you afraid of? So we say put on the diaper or confront who you really are. You bet. It is humiliating, Phil. We acknowledge that. And if you hear that enough over and over again, you know what America has become. Listen to that.
All right. 1-800... I hear that. That's to get people angry.
That is to get people angry and motivated, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Brooke, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Brooke.
Hi.
Yes.
I mean, I am a counselor myself, and I think this is utterly ridiculous. The man doesn't have a brain. I mean, to be counseling people. I lived in Saudi Arabia. I know what the other side is like.
Right.
I know what is happening. There will not be one American safe in the whole world.
Right, Brooke, but the reality is there was only one terror attack. That was on 9/11, and there have been no others. So what are we afraid of?
We're afraid of there was also another attack earlier, you know, with the same building. There are terror attacks everywhere. I mean,
not in America. And, you know, when the first World Trade Center bombing happened, we thought it was isolated, and it was.
We'd be damn fools if we didn't pay attention.
Well, I'm not.
Are you saying that? Are you saying we should not pay attention?
No, I'm not. I'm saying face the fact that over the last year, how many times, Brooke, have you been worried or, you know, soiled yourself in the last 11 months over fear?
Many, and I'm not scared. I have a master's degree. My husband is a doctor. And I'll tell you what, I'm thinking of getting a sailboat. This is the first time ever I have been frightened that something else will really happen in this country.
Okay, then this is appropriate.
And he's a jerk.
Why are you playing
that chicken? I don't really think he's a counselor.
Isn't it appropriate, Brooke, in your case? Don't you think this is appropriate in your case?
Laughing?
You don't think that's appropriate?
For him to laugh?
No, that's not laughing. That is a chicken.
He's playing a chicken clucking.
Why is that foolish? Why is that foolish? Think about it. The reality is, in my practice, I try to get people to confront what is real, what is in focus, and what's out of focus. And you say you're going to buy a sailboat? What are you going to sail where? To Africa? What? I don't understand that. You're getting
I have lived in Saudi Arabia where we always looked underneath the hoods of the cars looking for bombs. I've lived in that time period.
You said that you soiled yourself many times over the last year. How can you be a counselor when you yourself are filled with fear?
I am not filled with fear. I'm filled with intelligence, which is something you're lacking with.
I'm lacking intelligence.
Yes.
I am revolutionary. Let me ask you something.
If you're revolutionary, then go do something that'll benefit us. Don't be saying to people, don't be frightened. Absolutely, they should be aware of what's happening.
Of course we're aware of what's happening, but nothing else
is
happening.
No, we're not aware.
We're standing there with egg on our face because we looked for all the Europeans are standing.
I've lived all over the world. The Europeans are looking at us stupidly because we are thinking of attacking Iraq right now, which they're right.
They are calling us chicken.
No, they're not.
They're doing this behind my back.
When was the last time you went overseas?
I was in Europe last week. I was in Switzerland last week.
And they told you that we're chickens.
They are standing in rail stations making these...
He says that
they're telling you that we're chickens.
He says they're standing in rail stations making chicken sounds every time they see an American.
The only chicken is you.
And you know something else, Brooke?
You're misleading people.
You admitted you soiled yourself. So
you're misleading and soiling myself?
That's what you admitted to.
Obviously, you're a man that knows nothing except poopy ideas and peeing. You have the same little brain.
Well, you don't sound like a counselor. You sound like a very angry woman. You're in a session with a patient. There's a smell of excrement. You stand up to excuse yourself.
I don't have that problem. Obviously,
you told me that you did.
They must excrement themselves around you because you obviously have nothing worthwhile to give them.
Can we stop with the chicken effects?
No, but this is what we are subjected to as Americans.
No.
All right, look at Brooke.
The Americans are bright, strong people,
and
they don't need to put up with a wimp like you.
Europeans consider us to be big babies.
No, I've lived all over Europe.
Since 9/11.
You're a jerk.
Well, you've never been anywhere.
I've lived all over the world. What do you mean I've never been anywhere?
How come we have done our confrontational therapy, we have grown adults get into diapers, and we tell them, go ahead, do it.
Because you have a very odd practice, which is not normal.
Revolutionary practice.
I think you should be checked.
Revolutionary practice.
What state are you practicing in?
I'm in the state of California. Go ahead.
Make your jokes.
Make your jokes. I knew that. Where are you? What state are you in?
I'm in Florida.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we copy every idiot thing you do.
All right, thanks, Brooke. I got to take a break. Obviously, you guys have a difference in method or whatever. We're talking to Dean Wheeler, a marriage family counselor who believes that since 9/11, Americans have acted like big chickens and big babies. In his confrontational therapy, he has people put on diapers, and he tells them, go ahead and purge your fear. And if you don't, then he plays chicken sound effects. and the sound effects of babies crying. Have we been big babies since 9/11? There have been no other terrorist attacks in this country since then. No threats against airplanes, no terrorist attacks at all. We'll get back with Dean Wheeler and your phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry here with Dean Wheeler, who is a family counselor. And let's go over to Ingrid. Go ahead, Ingrid. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler.
It's a comedy act.
Hello, Ingrid?
Yes.
Ingrid, go right ahead, dear.
Okay.
You're on the air, Ingrid.
Okay. I want to tell this jerk. I don't know where you got him. How do you think I'm the mother
I'm a marriage
of a girl
counselor.
That died in the World Trade Center?
I'm a marriage and family counselor.
You're an idiot. I don't know what rock do you crawl out under. And in Luxembourg, they were laughing at you, not at the Americans.
No, they're laughing at they're doing this.
We have every right to take care of ourselves. My daughter died in that building, idiot.
In which building?
Why don't you crawl under that rock instead of calling yourself a psychiatrist?
Which
you
building?
Belong in the
Hold on.
Gutter.
The lady saying her daughter died in the World Trade Center.
Tower number two.
In number two?
Yes.
Okay.
And what right
now,
do you have to make fun of the Americans? You're a disgrace.
Will you stop it with the chicken sounds?
You're a disgrace.
Well, I want to ask Ingrid, why didn't your daughter try to get out?
Why? Because if they told her to stay in the building and she tried to get out.
What do you mean? Why
I
did
have
they...
a tape where she called me and she says they're trying to get us out, but there wasn't enough time when the second
right,
building came
right.
crashing down,
Ingrid,
you jerk.
Ingrid, were the elevators working? Or,
No, the elevators were not working.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Would you like to hear my tape from my daughter, you jerk?
Well,
she died in that building. It should have been you in there.
Ingrid,
not
you need
her.
You need to move on.
You're an idiot.
You need to move
Phil.
Past it. You need.
Phil.
How could a woman move past the fact that her daughter died?
Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you have the nerve?
Will you get this chicken off?
How do you have the nerve of having people like this man on the radio?
He's a family counselor.
Ma'am, I'm a trained...
I'm a
trained psychologist, ma'am.
You are a garbage pit.
I simply wanted to ask you...
You are a garbage pit.
When your daughter was in that building, did she... could she have jumped or...
No jump!
Phil.
She's up 58
Phil.
Million floors!
I'm
yes,
not
ma'am.
Even going to demean myself to answer a
well,
question
I'm trying to
like
ask,
that.
I'm simply asking, were there
Phil.
Stairs or elevators?
Yes, there were stairs and elevators. They were telling people to stay in the building.
Phil?
Yes, Ingrid?
How do you, as an American, and
well, you
I presume you love this country.
Yes, I do, very much.
And like I do, too. And I wasn't born here.
We're,
I went to college here.
No, I
became
I don't get
an
that.
American citizen.
You're not from America. Where are you from?
Okay. And I don't
you?
Understand how you can put a man
something?
On the radio saying that they're
can
laughing
I?
At the Americans.
Ingrid,
they're laughing at people like him,
Ingrid, did your
not
daughter
at
take,
the Americans.
Did your daughter take hang gliding or anything?
Okay.
Would,
oh, come on.
Okay? You're a jerk.
It
should have happened to you, not to other people.
Other
there was
people.
Almost 3,000 people. There was 3,000 parents and grandparents crying for their children.
Have you ever
jerk.
Been have you been parasailing in Mexico?
Look,
parasailing?
I don't want to talk to you. Goodbye.
All right, Ingrid, I'm...
What did I do?
What did you do? Well, first of all, that. Number two, were the elevators working?
Well, Phil, that's the first question we ask survivors.
Yeah, and then, did your daughter take a hang gliding class, and have you ever been parasailing?
You have a lot of hostility? I cannot...
Yeah, I've got a lot of anger and a lot of hostility. That woman's daughter died in the World Trade Center. She died!
Well, I understand a few people were killed at...
Yeah, 3,000!
She could have opened up one of those umbrellas.
Okay, Mary Poppins, we ain't talking about here. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Dean Wheeler on the line with us here. And I have to ask you, Mr. Wheeler, to keep your comments specific to your reactions to America's psychology after 9/11, not whether somebody ought to be making a hang glider out of a coffee stirrer and copy paper so they could have sailed out of the World Trade Center.
Well, I was mentioning in our workshop you could throw in an electric pencil sharpener, and she could have made an ultralight aircraft.
I don't want to hear anything more about that.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I'm overreacting, huh?
Well, I mean, lighten up.
Lighten up on what, man? In a few weeks, I'm going to be in New York for the 9/11 memorials.
Well, I'm trying to get America to deal with the fact that we may have, while 9/11 was bad...
I know, we might have overreacted the rest of the way. That's why we ought to be wearing diapers. Here is Nick on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Nick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. First of all, Phil, you say you're going back for the memorial. Do you know how many people actually...
800-449-8686. Here's Elizabeth on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Mr. Wheeler?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here, Dean Wheeler. We have a confrontational workshop where we're putting diapers on people. Hello?
Okay, Elizabeth, you there or not? You're not?
Yes, I'm here.
All right,
let's go. Mr. Wheeler, I think that, number one, I think you've got a fetish about diapers, and that's what this is all about. Number two, I think you should be investigated by the appropriate licensing board, if you have a license to do this. I think what you're doing is dangerous.
What am I doing?
What you're doing is damaging to people.
How could it be dangerous to put a diaper on?
I don't care about your opinions. It means nothing to me. I
well,
think that
if it doesn't mean anything to you, then why are you calling?
Doing. You're dangerous, and you're hurting people. And you know what? You're
America,
a terrorist yourself.
America used to be a superpower.
That's what you are. You're a terrorist yourself. And you're a little chicken can squawk all at once.
Well, that's what we're dealing with.
Because it really ultimately means nothing. You're
all right, what about this?
Off, and
okay.
I think you have a diaper fetish, and I think you need to address that before you go trying to assist other people.
Elizabeth, the only thing dangerous about wearing a diaper is diaper rash.
Are sick. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. You hear with the people checking in with your idiotic opinions here. Let's go to Andy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi, just a couple comments. First of all, where were you on 9/11?
Where was I?
Yeah.
I was in Hawaii.
In Hawaii?
Yes.
Okay, I remember that day very clearly, much like many of my elders remember.
But that's not what this is about, Andy. This is about the years since 9/11.
And
there haven't been any attacks.
I think our reaction has been more than appropriate. I think you are possibly right that we have maybe in ways overreacted.
Right.
However, it's not only a reactive situation, it's also proactive. And we
proactive,
are now beginning
standing in long
to see
lines.
That the times have changed, and we're now starting to look forward and prevent something like this from happening again.
And what am I supposed to do when I'm standing on a train platform in Europe and someone's doing a chicken walk and all of that?
Have you ever heard of being the big person
and it hurts.
Walking away?
It hurts.
It does hurt, I agree. I've been made fun of before, but
what are they
you're
make,
doing now by...
What do they make
by,
fun of?
When you're letting this making you, a psychiatrist as you are, you think you'd be able to handle someone making fun
Boy,
of
no kidding.
Fun.
Exactly.
You should be able to just deal with it and walk away. I've been made fun of before, and the only way that they get their satisfaction is by you whining and saying, oh my God, we need to wear diapers
here's the thing,
because we're crying.
You don't like people clucking chickens at you, and yet here in America, you've got people putting on diapers and you're laying the chicken noise on them.
That one.
Yeah, that one.
Well, I think that there is a reason for this, and it's because we need to purge a lot of fear out of ourselves. I think we need to move on.
Purge fear.
Yes. The combined anal retention in this country is at a dangerous level. We have to release, and that's what my program's about.
I traveled 4 weeks after 9/11, and it was very tight. And I traveled again last week. I was at Ground Zero last weekend.
And
I would say that America has started to let go, and things are starting to relax a little bit. But there is absolutely every reason to be concerned when something of that magnitude happens. 3,000 people died. 3,000 people died. People that I don't even know, and there are actually people that I did know.
You know, I was in a TGI Fridays in Germany, and the DJ had everybody in the bar doing the Funky Chicken, and I knew what that was about. It was about me.
It was about you.
Yeah.
What led you to believe that?
Because they've been doing...
You were looking for it to be about you.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
In other words, you're being paranoid. You saw some guy doing a chicken walk on a train station. Now everything... Let me ask you something. When you go into the supermarket and you look down there at the Zaki Farm chickens, what do you do then?
Don't be ridiculous, Phil. You know, the fact is I don't like it, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
You don't like what?
The fact that they have the chickens out.
You think the fact they have chickens out is because of you?
I think it's a comment on us, yes.
Oh, my Lord. You are unbelievable.
You know something, Andy? I think most of us, when our time comes, shouldn't be buried in coffins. I think they should put all 250 million of us in large buckets.
Okay.
All right.
And what?
Like Colonel Sanders buckets?
Right. Now do you get it?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's great.
In awe here. You
are a riot.
You are something.
All right, Andy, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
And thank you very much, Mr. Wheeler, for your time and for absolutely destroying what I had left of my show.
You know, a KFC just opened up a block from my house.
Why don't you go over there, get an oversized bucket, and bury yourself? That's just great. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Why do we put on a diaper? We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, you know, I got a birthday coming up, and what we've proposed is simply this, that we have anybody who's interested in being the band for my birthday party to send us 45 seconds of material of their band, and perhaps we could have the audience judge. Is that too corny, or on a scale of 1 to 10, how would we have the audience judge this? Thumbs up, thumbs down, I don't know.
1 to 10?
Yeah. What do we add up all the numbers, and the higher the number, the better? How many calls should I take?
Take as many as you can get in.
Take as many as I can get in, I'm being told by my engineer, Craig Taylor, who's really not a producer, an engineer, but my producers are in another room and I can't hear what they're saying. All right. Here we go with band number one. It's called Kill Allen Wrench is the name of this band. Kill Allen Wrench. The song is My Bitch is a Junkie. Yeah, okay. Jesus, come on, man. We got it already. Okay, what do you think?
You
can veto. I mean, we ain't even going to vote on that, man. Thanks anyway for sending it in, though, guys. Here is the band, the Frankie Marino Band, and the song is called Back It Up.
I got courage. I got strength to back it up.
New Saran Wrap.
Even if I'm tired, I will go to any length to back it up.
Come to Chief Auto Parts for these deals.
Dance with the demons, bust down the gate. Go through hell for heaven's sake. If I say it, you know I'll do it. I'll back it up.
starring Valerie Bertinelli.
I'll give you all my heart with all my soul.
Wednesday night on NBC.
Your honey's worth my words as good as gold. Stick to my guns, shake all the deal. Swear I'm no phony, I'm for real. If I tell you I won't want that, I'll be by your side, I'll back it up.
There you go. That's the Frankie Marino Band called Back It Up. I was joking around because it sounded for a minute there like the, you know, one day at a time. All right, so that's the Frankie Marino. You know, it's, it ain't bad. Pretty tight. You know, it's a five, a six. Giving that baby a six. Here's a band called the Hillbilly Soul Surfers, and the song is Chair Nine. That's a good band. That's the Hillbilly... What, bud?
That's my band.
I beg your pardon?
That's mine. That was me on guitar.
Get out of here. That's the Hillbilly Soul Surfers with Chair 9. To me, that's a 7 or an 8. I like that band. It's a boogie band, you know. Huh? What about lyrics? Look, I figure the best thing for beginning bands to do is just get the instrumentation down first. Spend 3 years doing nothing but instrumentals. Then start slowly but surely working in the lyrics, because it's either that or you start out like Kill Alan Wrench with, my bitch is a junkie and I don't like her. All right, so we got, that's Chair 9. I give that an 8. Very good. That's the Hillbilly Soul Surfers. Now, here's Nelson Norwood with Hooked on You. That's the best one. That's a 10. You think it's a 10? That's a 10. That's Nelson Norwood. Obviously, it sounds a lot like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Did you tell me that he actually got, Nelson got the double trouble as the rhythm section? He got double trouble's rhythm section, which was Stevie Ray Vaughan's rhythm section. So that's called Hooked on You. These are just bands that sent us their material, 45 seconds on an MP3, or what is it called? MP3. And that's like me saying, what is it called? Nirvana? Pearl, yeah, Internet. All right, so Nelson Norwood, Hooked on You. That's a solid 10, Nelson. Very good. And finally, of the bands we've received so far, this is Reno Jones with a cover of the great classic Route 66. That's Reno Jones, and I guess that was Reno singing, huh? She's got about an 843-piece band. That'll look good on my driveway. I don't know, Reno. That's fantastic, though. How can you give that anything less than a 10? That's really good. Solid. I just don't know how I can get all those horns and stuff on my driveway. You know, it's like I got the Doc Severinsen in the orchestra there. All right, so to enter the contest, go to my website, philhenryshow.com. Click on the banner titled, So You Want to Be Phil's Birthday Band, and just follow the instructions. Send us 45 seconds on an MP3 of your band sound. We need your name, your address, your email address. We also want a contact telephone number, the name of the band, obviously. And 45 seconds only. Anything more than that, we're done with it. All right, we can't really deal with it, but we do appreciate you guys sending those in. So the five bands there, Kill Alan Wrench, which we gave a zero to, I think. The Frankie Marino Band, Back It Up, we give them a six. Hillbilly Soul Surfers with Chair 9 and 8. Nelson Norwood got a 10, and Reno Jones got a solid 10. Ladies and gentlemen. All right, 1-800-449. Deadline, by the way, is Friday. This coming Friday, the 23rd. This is going to be a party at my house. This is nothing more than that. But let me, because it's a party for my friends and associates and hanger-ons and ne'er-do-wells and things like that. However, I got something coming up for all of you guys, which is way, way, way better than any party at my house and a band on a driveway. And that is a trip to Vegas. Phil Hendry live in Las Vegas, September 27th and 28th. And details will be announced, but we will afford every single one of you guys an opportunity to come to Las Vegas and enjoy a weekend with our show and enjoy the great city of Las Vegas late in September. We've got all the details ironed out. We're just giving you a little bit of a teaseroo here on what's going to be coming up, because we got a lot in September. This coming September, we'll be traveling to Salt Lake City. We're also going to do a live show from New York for a solid week during the week of 9/11, and then our Vegas show. We'll do a live show in Las Vegas on Friday night, and then we will have a cocktail party on Saturday night. And when I say a cocktail party, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about beer in a cup. And that'll be, and with a live band, and with dancing, and with, I'll be hanging with you guys, and there'll be gambling, and there'll be all of the great debauchery that you come to know and love, that only Las Vegas can provide. Now, if you're a backstage pass holder, you'll probably get the scoop first. That's one of the big benefits. And Craig is now asking me, will there be strippers? Yes, there will. It'll be Craig. He's gonna take his clothes off. Yeah, I don't know whether it'll be strippers. No, they're, well, my kids are there. No, they're not going to be strippers. Yeah, there'll be Craig Taylor in a diaper. How about that? Anyway, what was I just saying? I totally... Should I talk about short-term brain damage? Backstage pass. Yeah, if you have a backstage pass, you'll get all the information before anybody else. Ho-ho-ho! How about that? So it pays to be a backstage pass member. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. for all the details of our upcoming trip to Las Vegas.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Abu Nidal has been found dead in Iraq. You may not know who he is, but what he is or what he was the head of a terrorist organization aligned with the Palestinian Liberation Cause, and he was responsible, his organization responsible for some 300 deaths. Now, they say he was found with a gunshot wound, apparently a suicide. Which is exactly, I'm sure, what the CIA would like all of us to believe. This was in Baghdad, Iraq. It was in his apartment, and he's now dead. Now, this cat headed up a group responsible for attacks in 20 countries against Middle Eastern, European, and U.S. targets. He also suffered from leukemia for a long period, but his condition was not considered to be, you know, life-threatened. He was responsible for attacks in Rome and Vienna airports in December of 85, a synagogue in Istanbul, the Pan Am Flight 73 hijacking in Karachi, and other such hijackings, including the excursion ship attack in Greece in July of 88, where they shot the American in the wheelchair and then pushed him off into the Mediterranean. I don't know if you recall that. Yeah, you don't. This was gruesome. I don't know if anybody remembers, but there was a group of these maniacs who took over a cruise ship, and of the people they killed on board was a crippled senior citizen American, shot him and then pushed his body over the side in his wheelchair. This was Abu Nidal's work. And as I said right after 9/11, that I was positive, and I know that President Bush has made references to this, but I was positive that very shortly thereafter, bodies would start turning up in parked cars with a little trickle of blood down the side of the head. People we don't even know. This guy is a very high-profile, though, terrorist. And to say that he died of a suicide in Baghdad, well, okay. Now, the CIA obviously is not going to take responsibility for it, because the minute they take responsibility for it, that means that Saddam Hussein is getting even more nervous, and suddenly his country, his security has been compromised on that level, and it just makes life that much more different. It's just a lot easier to say it looks like a suicide to us. Yeah, you know, it's possible that it was, but highly doubtful. Highly doubtful. So that's how your tax dollars are being spent. I think it's fantastic. I love it. I love every moment of it. And as these things continue to occur, then the other side, whatever they call themselves, whatever we choose to call them, Islamists, Islamic fundamentalists, that coalition of nut jobs and jackballs that are running this so-called jihad, they'll begin to slowly but surely grab the message that this is a covert war on both sides. And you may go to sleep in your bed one night and not wake up. And it doesn't matter whether you're Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, this guy Abu Nidal, and I don't know what the security was like around this guy. Don't you suppose it was pretty significant? I would have to think it would be pretty significant. So somebody infiltrated this guy's inner circle and did the job that needed to be done there. Now, you know there's been a lot of videotapes released. Apparently CNN got a hold of some tape in a house that was... CNN didn't get a hold of the tape, but the U.S. military got a hold of tapes that were found in a house in Afghanistan. It was Osama bin Laden's residence, and CNN got a hold of these tapes. And it's all real old stuff, him declaring war, jihad, and some rather disturbing experiments done on dogs with nerve gas. And I really wanted to get upset about that, but then I realized how do we experiment with nerve gas in this country? I'm sure we do it on dogs or monkeys, so... You know, it's the fact that they've got a videotape of it is a little odd. I don't know whether Osama pleasured himself at night to the scenes of dogs being gassed. Probably. I mean, something, it may have been his kind, you know, it might be his relaxation. And then the other thing they found in his house was a collection of Powerpuff Girl cartoons. Now, what do you think that's about? They went into bin Laden's house in eastern Afghanistan, found child porn. And I'm talking about young boys. They found videotapes of a variety of animals being gassed. This is what this guy dug. This is what bin Laden was into. This is how he got his relaxation. Kitty porn, Powerpuff Girl cartoons, dogs being gassed. This was how he kicked back on a Friday night with a schmoke and a pancake. You know, the guy's our kind of guy, huh? Had a way to do it there, Osama. No wonder you're underground, man. We start finding this stuff out about you, you better run. And just keep right on running, baby. This guy, bin Laden, apparently was a cigarette smoker. He was an alcohol drinker. They found booze, cigarettes, kiddie porn. And then get a load of this. What's a pair of garters? What's a garter belt and stockings doing in this guy's place? I mean, just the more you find out about him... Well, the more I like him. I'm kidding. See, if I don't say I'm kidding, then somebody's going to think I'm serious, and then the next thing you know, we got even more problems than we already have, right? Right. So here is a guy who, and then, of course, we got the videotape of him in 98 declaring jihad. When are we going to get something new, Bin? When are you going to produce a new videotape? When are you going to show us the face of bin Laden today? I bet you look like Santa Claus now, man. What do you think that guy looks like shaved? Yeah, I saw the O.J. cartoon. I get it. This is a guy, if he's still alive, he's on the run. And when I say on the run, he's shaved his head, he's shaved his beard, he's wearing sunglasses and a Brooks Brothers suit. He's got on the big airplane collars, he's got on hippie beads, he's hiding out in Holland, man. He's in a street band or something. I think he's Jamie Farr. We haven't seen anything new from him since December, when his hair had turned stone white, the beard was stone white, and the Bunker Busters were raining down like so much manna from heaven. And old Geraldo was up there on the hills going, "There's the rat's nest back there. And the rat's nest, thank you very much, Shep. The rat's nest is behind me, and I'm going to go over there now. And these are some of the hardened guys. I love hanging with these guys. These are the Northern Alliance. These are the Afghan fighters." And these guys who look like they haven't had a decent meal in like 6 years are standing next to, you know, Geraldo. He's got on that nice, you know, Wilson Brothers leather jacket. And these dudes are wearing rags, and, you know, they're sucking on cigarette butts. These are my kind of people. Right. Okay. By the way, we have your first class ticket, and... "I'm Geraldo Rivera, and I'm in the G block." What in the hell is it? Is that some kind of sexual communication between Shep Smith and Geraldo? When Shep says, "I'm in the G block," Geraldo goes, "Okay, got it, baby. All right. Thumbs up. Yeah, I'll see you there. I'll see you in the apartment tonight." "I'm in the G block." Yeah. "Shep's in apartment G tonight there, Geraldo." So this scumbag... Oh, excuse me. Speaking of scumbags... Shepard Smith, oh, I don't give a crap about his G-block. Do you? G-block, since that last segment, sometimes reported by Trace Gallagher. Oh, okay. So here's this scumbag Bin Laden. Now we find out all kinds of things about him. We haven't had anything new from this guy in months. When's it going to happen? Now, the vice president, I think, of Afghanistan said that he thinks the guy's still alive. I don't know. They got Abu Nidal with a little gunshot to the head, a little trickle of blood. He was just sitting there in his Barca lounger. And he had the remote control in his right hand, and there was just a kind of a half a bottle of Corona in the other. And he was sort of staring with half-open eyelids, and he had the G-block on TV. And, you know, and that's all. And the landlord heard the sound. "Abu, you all right in there? Come here, baby." And they had a kick in the door, and he's dead, man. Our guys went and did the job. Better believe we did the job on Bin Laden. You think that guy is alive? Let me tell you. I'm trying to get rid of some stuff in my garage. He is dead, 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 brother. Just like the man say in Malcolm X, "My man Red, you are dead, dead, dead." All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Don't miss out on some of the great clips we got up there for you on our website, our audio archives, our 30-day archive. Also, we have a little link there to give you more information about a planned trip to Las Vegas with you and me, and how you, if you got a band, you can play at my birthday party. All of that on our website, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Now here is, this is just sort of something that dawned on me today. I, like many of you, I have gotten on airplanes and I've sat down and I've been a good boy and I've done what they asked me to do. And I've believed the following line, and here's the line that you hear. "As you know, the flight attendants are here primarily for your safety, but we would also like to have a very pleasurable flight." So, and of course, inherent in that comment is this. "As you know, the flight attendants are here primarily for your safety, so don't expect us to be waitresses and cocktail pushers, and you'll be lucky, you know, just keep your big fat mouth shut, maybe you'll get dinner." That's really, maybe I'm paranoid, but that's kind of what I take from that comment. Now, I ask myself this question, why do I have to deal with that, and why do I have to take that? And why do I have to believe the comment that the flight attendants are there primarily for my safety? Because while they are there for my safety, and you may even say that it is primary that they're there for my safety, the real reason why they're there is to make my flight enjoyable, to get me my food, and to get me my drink. And why is that? Because I have paid for that, because I expect it, because it is part of the package. Especially if you have cashed in those miles and you're flying first class. Now, many of you have frequent flyer miles. Now, why do we have frequent flyer miles? Here's why. Because that blessed day occurs when you have enough frequent flyer miles and you can get bumped up to first. Woo, yeah, baby! It's big time. It's a hot time. You got to love it. It's a sweet thing to get bumped up to first. And it can be a crashing disappointment when you get bumped up to that big first-class cabin and the service is about as lousy as you've ever seen in your living days on this planet, to wit, our trip on United Airlines to Hawaii. With the greatest of respect for the hard work that those fine people do and the tragedy that befell that airline on September the 11th, we flew back on American. Same thing happened to American on September the 11th. They just happened to have a more professional, happier-looking crew of people. I don't know why. Has the nature of air travel changed to the point where we ought to be lucky that we're getting on an airplane? You're just lucky if you actually can get on an airplane and fly safely from one point to the next without it being flown into the side of a mountain. Get out on your knees and pray that the plane you're in doesn't blow up in the air. What are you telling me? Horrible things happen on September the 11th. Nobody is more aware of it than me. I talked about it and put it in perspective better than anybody in the weeks following September the 11th. Better than anybody. But I also recognize that life goes on. Now, there's an airline called Vanguard. Vanguard Airline, known for its low fares, and Hooters girls are known for their high-cut shorts. Well, guess what? The two may be corporate cousins soon. Hooters of America chairman Robert H. Brooks is thinking about buying Vanguard, the Kansas City-based discount carrier that filed for bankruptcy protection and grounded its fleet last month. And what do you suppose their new marching orders are going to be? To make the flight enjoyable. To make service number one. You don't threaten your passengers with, we're here primarily for your safety, sit down, the light's on. Have a little bit of courtesy. Now, I understand that UAL especially is in big trouble because they're considering bankruptcy, and maybe they think they're, who needs it? You know, we don't have to be polite to anybody because guess what? We're going down in, we're going up in smoke anyway, and we'll just be rude as hell. I'm not interested in your problems. I paid my money. I got on a plane. You're cashing my check. You're getting full value on my money. You know, where's my service? I got to feel sorry for you? Is that it? Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to be out of business. That's too bad. Oh, tell you what. I won't fly anymore because I know it's probably a pain in the ass to have me on your airplane. So I'll go and I'll fly on another airline. That way you can be, you know, happy to sit and knit and stare at the walls or whatever it is you flight attendants want to do and be primarily concerned for safety and not give anybody any real service and look like it's all just a major pain in the ass and I'll go fly and I won't be a bother to you and you can, you know, sit there and boil water all day. I don't know whatever you want to do. You just go ahead and do it. I'm happy to see this because they're going to try to put an airline in the air that returns to some idea of, let's give people, you know, a nice time while they're flying. Let's have them sit down and you, hey, how you doing, Charlie? What a drink or something. How would he say? Well, we can't serve you on the tarmac as soon as we're airborne, you know. We'll get it done. We'll get better service. You don't have to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait while the one drink cart slowly but surely inches its way down the aisle. You're in row 23. You're holding your $5 bill. Your mouth is as dry and as arid as the upper desert. You're watching the flight attendant, and she's inching it down, and she looks, oh, and she puts her finger up. She goes back to the galley to get some tomato juice for a guy in seat number 14 there. He needs that. And she's pouring, and she's engaged in conversation. And how about maybe two of those drink carts, one coming from this end and one coming this end? I don't know. But I've been there so many times, just you're like just some crazed miner in the desert. Your mouth is dried. You got cotton mouth waiting for that drink cart to come down. And finally, can I get you anything, sir? Beer! I want a beer! Want some peanuts? Yes! In fact, give me four beers. That way I'll never bother you again. How many drinks do you buy when a drink cart gets to you? I buy about four beers, you know. Just line them right up there, Sadie. Don't get stingy now. Set them up, honey. Sledge, just slide those beers in there. Or I'll do, this is what I say. I say, two double vodka, two double Bloody Marys. Just give me the bottles and the Bloody Mary mix and I'll be out of your hair. Just, I'll make it myself. They got a problem with that. They got a problem with that. Here's the problem. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, you know. Well, okay, if I can't, you know. Look, if you don't want to give me all that service and you want to be there primarily for my safety, let me just go up and make my own stinking drink. I'll go up and get my own drink, as a matter of fact. I'll just put a hat there and I'll put it in. You guys can stand around with your thumbs up your rear ends talking about your layover in Dallas or whatever you got to do. And I'll go get my drink. I'll even make my own food. Hooters Air, if nothing else, is going to make that safety dance a little more interesting. Don't worry if the bag doesn't inflate. It's still pumping air. You know, they'll be standing up there with... It'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful. You're going to force the airlines. Look, and again, do they do a good job flying us safely from A to B? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But I believe, and I could be wrong, I believe we've entered a stage of air travel. This is now the turn of the millennium where I can expect a little more than just not crashing the plane. See, up to that point now, it's $3,000 first class. Why? We didn't crash the plane. All right, okay. Can I get a little bit more out of this deal now, man? Air travel, people flying things, it's like 100 years old now. And this primarily for my safety, I get it, you know, but I'm paying a lot of bread just to sit, either it's in first or business or coach, and, you know, no matter where you're going, and I would like to, I don't think it's fair for you to say, this is costing you this much because we didn't fly the plane into a silo or stick it nose first into the desert. I think I can expect more. So now I expect maybe it's the Hooters girls. You got a problem with that? You don't have to fly in my airline. Maybe they're going to serve them Hooter chicken wings on a flight. I could dig that. Maybe they'll be dressed like Hooters girls. Maybe I'd like that. I think, as a matter of fact, I would like that. As a matter of fact, if I was going with a bunch of buddies to Vegas, that's the airline I'm taking. I would dig that. Yeah, let's get this party started right. Right on. All right, so what you're getting is you're not only going from point A to point B and the plane isn't crashing, and they're there, you know, making it safe, guess what? It's fun. It's now fun again. And I'm not getting sourpuss looking at me, because either they're going bankrupt, or they're out on strike, or, you know, there's too many people demanding too many things, and they're primarily for safety, and it's all a big pain in the ass being waitresses, and they really kind of consider themselves to be Sky King anyway, and they think they're something, you know, whatever, you know, like Barbarella or something. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
On Friday, we had Herb Sewell, a sports agent, on our program. Actually, it was me doing the voice. But we had Herb Sewell on our show, and he's a great friend. And he's a sports agent. And he said that baseball fans will go back to watching baseball if there is a strike. They'll go back anyway, because baseball fans are just mindless junkies.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Major League Baseball players, all we have left in America to look up to is our hero. Almost a year ago, we saw them bloodied and beaten, covered in soot and debris. But they rose from the ashes to give us our freedom. Our freedom as Americans.
The baseball players?
You're talking about firefighters and police officers, aren't you?
Yes, firefighters and police officers.
The NFL
took a day off of their schedule honor.
Are you telling me you drive to Cleveland Indian games?
Will you forget that?
Of course
that.
I would. Of
forget
course
it.
I do. I
Buffalo,
go to the Buffalo Bisons. I go to the Cleveland
the
Indians. I go to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Have you been to the Boston Yankee games?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. I just found out that you're not a baseball fan because it's the Boston Red Sox, not the Boston Yankees. So
the
there
Boston.
You go, Phil.
She thought you meant Boston versus Yankees.
Yes.
Well.
Jesus.
Do you go to the Los Angeles Angel games?
You know, give it a rest.
You know something? What is your name, dear?
Matilda.
Matilda?
Yes.
It's Matilda, as in waltzing.
Of course.
Waltzing Matilda. Do you know that our country wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for Dominican and Puerto Rican ball players? Forget the white ones. Let's just talk about the ones that speak Spanish. The ones that have the crosses around their necks. And the ones.
Are you a lawyer?
I'm a sports agent.
The
ones that do the little sign of the cross before they take an at-bat. The ones that spit through their teeth, which I think is just phenomenal. The ones that pull their shirt sleeves up and then point to
a player. I think your values are wrong.
My values, Fernando Valenzuela.
I think you should. You should let your wife go and give the breast implant money to somebody else.
Wait a second. I love my wife. She's running off with an ex-con, a crank dealer from Bushnell
Correctional. And you're calling in on national radio? What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm talking about it because this is why I need the money from the player commission.
She's running off with an ex-con letter. Maybe he's better than you are.
Maybe
he has better values.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, better values. He was in cell block C. He was on the yard for 5 years dealing.
And you're telling that, and you're not embarrassed to tell that? You're sick, man.
I'm telling that so that people will understand the difficult straits that I am in now as a man.
You know what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about breast implants.
Yes, they do.
Trivial.
My wife does. Here's a guy that snorts crank off of a hunting knife.
I don't even want to hear it. I don't care about
Do you care about baseball? Do you care about the players?
I care about people.
We would still have baseball if there were no owners. And
I'd like to know, how do you justify we'd have baseball if there were no owners?
The players would place a hat at the gate. They'd go out and play, and they'd have people put the money in the hat, and then they'd divvy it up. Hello?
I just think that whatever you were to say is
You suddenly got younger.
Is this the daughter?
Yeah.
Okay, what is your opinion, ma'am?
This is the daughter.
Yeah. What's the opinion, ma'am?
It just made me so, like, sick to my stomach just listening to you say that. Like, I've been to so many games with my dad, and I don't look at baseball games as sitting there, like,
I look at what game? The Buffalo Bison games? Is that what I...
I've been games at Fenway Park. I've been all over the place.
Fenway Park? I don't know where that is.
Fenway.
I'm sorry.
That's what I said.
All right, I thought you said Funway.
No. I mean, to listen to you say that you just want to, like, watch baseball games just because your wife needs breast implants, that's obviously ridiculous.
I need the money from the player commission. How old are you, dear?
How old am I? I'm 17.
All right, you know my wife's leaving me.
I don't really care if she's leaving you. I just think it makes me sick to listen to somebody talk about how they want to make money. I mean, we all love baseball, obviously.
Yes, we do.
I don't even want to talk to you anymore here.
I love baseball. I was going to offer the young lady. Is she gone?
Yes.
I was going to say if my wife leaves me and I get enough money for the breast implants, I'd give them to this young lady. Is the young lady still there?
Hello? All right, look.
Your mother, the mother said that this ex-con has better morals than me. A guy who wore a wig made from a mop and called himself Sally Ann for 10 years a hard time, and he has better morals. Yeah, right.
Turn your stupid-ass music off, okay?
The Landry Show. Comedy gold.
I like that. You know what I'd like to do now at 1-800-449-8686? I'm going to take this phone call here from Aaron. And then I'd like to have you call with your favorite phrase from a character hour. For instance, in that hour, it was, what was the phrase? He said, snorting crank off a hunting knife. Snorting crank off of a hunting knife. There's another phrase that we've had in other character hours. He needs his mama. That's from a lot of Vernon Dozier hours. How about the one we did where, he needs his mama. Oh, how about it when Steve Bozell said, stick it in and break it off? He was talking about his wife. She sticks it in and she twists it and then she breaks it off. So I don't know if you can think of any of these from different character hours. 1-800-449-8686. Aaron, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, I got a character phrase for you.
Great, this guy wanted to call and talk about flight attendants. You just want to talk to me.
Well, remember when... Bobby and Steve Dooley were doing a bit, and Steve fell over and said, I could see your taco.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, that's mine.
I can see your taco. Okay, go ahead, man. What was your comment?
Well, I love you, Phil, but it's just it's sort of hard to hear you bagging on flight attendants when my mother's one, and I'm.
Well, don't take it personal, man. I don't know. Your
mom. I don't, but it's just such a hard job because it's, you know, minimum 6 flights a day for, you know, at least 2/4 of a year, or 2/3 of a year, and I just can't imagine why they could keep a, you know, sort of polite.
Well, then there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it then. There's something wrong with the whole system if it isn't a little bit more enjoyable for the flight attendants. See? I mean, you know, if they're there for my safety, then they're there for my safety. Don't make some sort of cursory or obligatory comment about how they're, you know, fly the friendly skies and it's just going to be a party up there. If it ain't, it's not going to be a party, it ain't going to be a party. I'll take my business somewhere else. Frankly, I understand because I've talked to a lot of flight attendants. I got to tell you a story. I was on TWA. Remember TWA?
Yeah.
I was going to London, England back in 1987, and one half of the flight attendants had these sour looks on their faces, and the other half of the flight attendants looked really happy. And I asked the sourpuss one, I said, "What's wrong?" She says, "Those flight attendants over there are scabs. We've been forced to work with strikebreakers." Well, I was a union member then, and I still am. And so I sort of took pity on this lady or became very conversational. I said, "Well, I'm a union member. I'm a member of the AFTRA." And she, oh, you know. So she was really cool with me, you know. So maybe the key is join a union, and then they'll treat you better. I don't know. But the fact is the system's gotten to the point now where everybody is angry and overworked and tired, and it's just a hard thing to get up in the morning to go to the job, and oh my God, it's a pathetic life, and you, Mr. Passenger, you ought to get on your knees and thank the God of your parents' choice right now. Just carve a wooden idol and thank it that you're even on this plane. That's how I feel. I get on. Hi. Okay, sit down. Okay, can I get a? I'll never forget. I had to get up and use the can. Right. It was. We were landing at L.A. about 2 weeks ago. And she says, "You take your seat, sir. The plane's landing. The seatbelt sign is on." No, not even the perfunctory. You know what, hon? You know we're landing. We'll be on the ground soon. Nothing like that. Just a real kind of hard ass approach. Meanwhile, my wife was in the can using it, see? So she got to go in there, and I got to stand there with the bladder. Well, even though, you know, you generally as a man, I can hold it longer, but why am I even getting into this stuff? Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Now, there was a phrase that was just given to me by Janice. Now, what character did this phrase come from? I think it's Steve Bozell. Well, you can both go to the devil. Or he has used this phrase, you can both go down to the underworld. Yeah, or you can go down to the hot place, or he's more direct, he'll say, you can both go straight to living hell. Click. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil.
How are you, Mark?
Good. Good my favorite phrase, I think it was Vernon Dozier.
Yeah.
When I don't even remember what the episode was or what he was talking about, but he kept saying, referring to somebody as being a coward, he kept saying, you're yella. Yella. That was a great
That's
one.
That's right, you're yella. That's actually from a movie. You got to get this movie if you. It's called Nevada Smith,
okay.
And it was Steve McQueen and Carl Malden. At the end of the movie, Steve McQueen has shot Carl Malden in the knee and the elbow because he wants to see him suffer because Malden killed his family. And as the movie ends, Malden is screaming at Steve McQueen as he rides off. Ya yella, ya yella, you haven't got the guts. And so that's where that's from. Ya yella. All right, man. Thanks.
Love the show. Bye.
Right, thanks a lot. Bye bye. All right. That's the great city of Green Bay checking in. Let's move on over to Augusta, Georgia. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, man.
This was the day after 9-1-1 when the black lady, I forget her name, was explaining to the class why George Bush was Osama bin Laden's bitch.
Really?
Don't you remember doing that?
No, I don't. In fact, the day after 9-11, we weren't even on the air, so bug off with your bad self. Here is Tom on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't know, some guy I probably hung up on. Tom?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good, man. I remember when my favorite bit ever, Ballsack Paddle Whack, with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Oh, yeah.
And says, turn it to patent pending.
Turn it up to patent pending.
That was the
what
best,
what the hell?
Man.
What was that about, anyway? What was she talking about?
That was with the shoe shine bobbing machine with the ping pong paddles at it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I've turned more people onto your show by letting them listen to that on the internet, man.
What was the thing? Turn it up to a patent pending? I yeah, love that, man. All right.
Then he says, oh, I'm bleeding.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
See you later. Then R.C. Collins, of course, had this famous line from a show 3-4 years ago. It's a big do sandwich, and we're all going to have to take a bite. In fact, I think I got that in the replay there, Craig. You could pull that up if you weren't doing anything else. If you're not too busy, of course, go ahead and lay that on me. 1-800-449-8686. So phrases that we've come to love and we've come to know from past shows and a Phil Henry show, and we were inspired from an earlier bit we did today. What were we doing today? Which some of you already heard and some of you will hear in a few minutes. And it was Dean Wheeler talking. And what was his phrase? I think it was, did he have one? Oh, I don't know. All right, maybe not. Oh, the hunting, yes, snorting crank off. No, that's not Dean Wheeler. That was, oh, yeah. Yeah, we're chickens. Anyway, forget that whole last 15 seconds of meandering rap. It's really, the show's better than that. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
It's a big do sandwich, and we all got to take a bite.
Word. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. As of the years, when we've done different character bits on our show, we've had a character give a statement or have a phrase that they fall back on that literally can carry an entire hour. In the case of a Steve Dooley bit, he made the reference to I Can See Your Taco, Turn It Up to Patent Pending. In a Steve Bozell bit, he kept repeating the phrase, My Wife Sticks It In, Twists It, and Breaks It Off. Vernon Dozier has also used the phrase, which was inspired by the movie Westworld, he needs his mama. And in the case of Bobby Dooley, she really pounded this one into the wall for an entire hour. And it was just before, in August of 99, that my wife and I went on vacation, and she had traveled to Paris, and she said, the way to talk to the French is really loud. Tell them, I'm an American! And Bobby had been there one year where she was, quote, in the middle of her, you know, monthly. So she was saying to the gendarme on a Paris street, I'm an American. I have a very heavy flow. I need my doll. And that's what I was supposed to do. All right. And then, of course, Lloyd, you always use the phrase, I lost my mud. Or Lloyd would always use the phrase, I took it to the next level. Here is Nora on the Phil Henry Show. Nora?
Hi, Phil. Love your show.
Thanks, Nora.
This is not a repetitive line, but Steve and Bobby Dooley one day were introducing teenage girls to lesbianism to reduce pregnancy
right.
and sexually transmitted diseases.
Uh-huh.
And as Bobby's opening cans of tuna so they can get used to the smell, Steve's in the background going, smells like tuna. It smells like tuna. And I love that bit.
Oh,
so.
My God. Smells.
I won't forget that one.
They were cracking cans of tuna. You can blame my producer, Janice Ungaro, for that one. Thanks a lot, Janice. Smells like tuna. Thanks, Nora. Bye. I like the way Steve is such a moron. He just repeats, you know, anything. How about Ted Bell with the simple line, I'm Ted Bell. He's got that on his license plate. Pat, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi, Phil. This is not a repeating one also, and it's also Bobby Dooley, but you did a big bit recently where the next-door neighbor was an old lady, and she's running her air conditioning, and
yes.
they couldn't have sex. And
right.
She said after she shut off the air conditioning, the old lady died. Says her Steve took me that night like a virgin at a prison rodeo. And I was driving, I about drove off the road. It was so funny.
It's out of sight.
There was another line, too, where you said she should have known that violating the CCNRs meant death. Like,
what is that about?
I don't know.
That's
that was
cool.
One of your funniest ones. It
took
cool.
me like a virgin in a prison rodeo. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, where you come up with that one.
All right, brother. Thanks.
Hey Phil,
yeah.
I'm turning 50 this year, too, so I feel your pain.
Hey, we're going to be in... Oh, you're in Santa Cruz. I thought you were in Salt Lake. We're going to be in... Well, we're going to be in Salt Lake, Pat.
Well, why don't you invite me to your party, and then I won't have
come to Vegas. We're going to have our Vegas party at the end of September. You'll love it.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye. Kind of gives me the creeps talking to other guys about getting old, you know. Makes me think they're living alone in a trailer somewhere. Nah, it's okay. Pat, come and, you know, do the thing with us there in Vegas. Here's Nick on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good, Nick.
Hey, my favorite phrase was from a bit where you did back in February with Bobby and Steve Dooley, where Bobby was doing favors for the soccer coach in order to get more playing time.
Uh-huh.
And Steve kept yelling in the background, it's okay to bring chloracepting handkerchiefs to the game.
What is that?
Chloracepting handkerchiefs.
What did he say?
Chloraseptic and handkerchiefs. You bring chloraseptic and handkerchiefs to wash your mouth out of.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That was Steve in the background?
Yeah.
Take chloraseptic and handkerchiefs. Wow. Cool. I got it. Thanks, man. See, Bobby and Steve, they got some memorable ones there. 1-800-449-8686. Dale, hello.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, Dale.
Funniest thing I think I ever heard was you were doing a bit a couple of years ago about women that would walk out of airplanes because they mistake the emergency exit for the restroom.
Right.
This retired pilot you were talking to, he was going, yeah, slang in the industry is puffs of dust. And they'd go into a dive and try to pick him up on the wing.
Puffs of dust. That's cool. Thanks, Dale. All right. Hey, how about Brad? How about this famous Dave Oliva line? How do you like me now? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So what is it that you actually do?
Actually, Phil, what I do is contact the recently deceased spouses and relatives of senior citizens. I like to keep my work with only one group, and our seniors are lost, and they are forgotten people. And as a means of crossing over, I will contact the recently deceased spouses of senior citizens.
All right, so you claim to be a medium or a paranormalist?
Phil, actually, I just consider myself to be a vessel or a channel. I have the ability to cross over, and that is to contact the spirits of people who have passed on. And these individuals will tell you their husband wants to talk to you about a red sweater or a dead child wants you to sell her toys. A lot of these so-called people who tell you they cross over are simply giving you meaningless information.
All right, well, you mentioned the guy John Edward, who is a crossing over guy. He speaks to the dead souls, is that right?
Right, he's on British television, and he is an absolute sham. He's a con artist and an individual who really shouldn't be paid any mind. He doesn't give any information that is specific. So often with our seniors or our aged people, there's one person in the couple who took care of all the business. And when that individual dies, many widowed elderly women or widowed elderly men have no idea how to take care of the bills. They don't know where the money is. It's daunting for a young person, let alone someone in their 80s. So I can contact... if I could speak to the elderly in your audience right now, Phil.
Go ahead.
I can contact your recently departed spouse. I can find out the pertinent information, where the safety deposit boxes are, PIN numbers, Social Security, and I can do this all from the comfort and the security of your home.
All right. Do you cross over? Do you go into a trance? What do you do when you talk about crossing over, contacting the spirits of the dead? And I got to tell you, I'm not necessarily believing any of this.
No, I understand the skepticism.
But the same token, I'd like you to explain it to us. Do you cross over?
No, I don't work that way. Some do. I like to keep my sensory perception alive. I use auto-hypnosis or quasi-hypnotic states. We put the subject under hypnosis, and I use the subject as a partial vessel. and I also use myself. Some people are very hard to hypnotize, so we'll use a small dose of Rohypnol to relax them. They need to be relaxed, otherwise the information gets blocked.
All right, once the person is under.
Once the person is under, then I contact the spouse who is deceased, and she or he will enter me and lead me around the house to where the desk is, where the files are. I can then look for this information for them because the deceased is guiding my hands through the files.
And you've done this for people?
Many, many people, Phil. But keep in mind, this takes 3 or 4 sessions to get all of the information secured. And I can't tell you, Phil, what a feeling it is to be of use to senior citizens. My ability to cross over can help our seniors rather than be some cheap supermarket parking lot carny act like John Edwards.
Why do you not like John Edwards?
All he tells people are things they can't use. I don't like the roses she planted, or don't go to Vegas this weekend, or change the oil in the car. Really stupid things. And these people pay a lot of money for these mindless things that this con man tells them are from their spouse. At least what I do helps on a practical level, and it helps people get back on their feet.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We are talking to a self-proclaimed medium by the name of Dr. Jim Sadler. You say that the dead spouses will speak through you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Why then does the living spouse, the living senior citizen, have to be put under a hypnotic state?
Well, because they are the actual vessel. Using them, using their ability to go into their subconscious and superconscious, opens them up, and therefore it opens me up.
They're like a conduit for you.
That is correct. And when the subject comes out of their trance, I let them know that their deceased loved one told me the PIN number to their accounts, told me the different account numbers and where all the money is. And there are tears literally in their eyes. And this is such a wonderful, wonderful way to help senior citizens and the elderly get back on track financially. And find out how they can be secure.
All right, now I got to bring up and I'm going to give our number again here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, before I get into this information, because I want to get to this case, this Miss Ida Breckenridge of Albany, New York.
All right, that was investigated by the police.
All right, maybe so, but she claims over a six-month period and some 5 or 6 sessions, $37,000 went missing from her accounts.
Yes. And the reason is because I took care of all the debts that her dead husband had accrued. And it was a very sad thing that these women are all widowed and they are about to have some goon break their kneecaps. I saved them. So what you're intimating is technically blasphemy. Because
why is that blasphemy?
Because you're calling into question my honesty.
No, I'm asking you, well, I don't know how that's blasphemy. I'm asking you how $37,000 went missing from a widow's account that you were helping.
Because I used the money to pay her debts off. And I don't know if you know this, Phil, but there's so much scum out there that take advantage of our seniors, it's sickening. And what I do is I put the senior citizen into a trance, I cross over and have the dead husband, a dead wife, whatever you want to call it, come into me, and they lead me to where the papers are, wills, bank accounts, PIN numbers, credit cards, and I can organize this for them.
All right, $37,000 went missing from this woman's account.
Yes, I use that money.
So you're not only going into their accounts, you're paying...
I'm paying the debt, right. I moved the money over and just paid the debt.
Why not have her do it?
These are senior citizens who need all the help they can get. And what you're intimating is blasphemy.
Why do you call that blasphemy? It's a question.
Because I have a God-given gift that helps me talk to the dead, and you're making fun of it, and that's blasphemy. God forbids you, I tell you something, Phil, I hope you never lose your wife, because you are stuck there in your lazy boy, not knowing how to pay a water bill, and you've been sitting in your own urine for 3 days. Thank God for me.
Look, I'm not saying that you don't help. I'm not saying that you do. I'm saying there was a case with that the police investigated. Some woman, you came to her, you went into her, she went into a trance. Then you said that the husband contacted you from the dead, and he guided you to where the desk was, where the checks, credit cards, and...
So you're saying I stole.
No, I'm not saying, but that's what the police intimated when $37,000 was gone from this woman's account.
No, what I did with that money is I paid off her husband's debts. I took a commission, which is part of what we do. But I can tell you right now, our senior citizens are at risk. Some scumbag like John Edward, who claims he can cross over and talk to the dead, and he's a liar, I can cross over and talk to the dead. And what better people to hire me to cross over and talk to dead, you know, dead guys is senior citizens. Senior citizens who just had a husband or a wife and now it's dead. All right? So they need to talk to it. How do they do it?
If they don't know where the bills are?
If they don't know where the bills are, where did the dead husband put everything, where the dead wife, whatever, whoever was doing the money, they don't know. They come to me, I cross over and talk to the dead, you know, the dead one, and the dead one tells me where it is. The living one is in the trance, but the dead one, I find it.
PIN numbers and everything.
Right.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler, who's a paranormalist, or he's a medium. He does this crossing over stuff. This is the latest new kick. I don't know whether you know it or not. But these guys will cross over and talk to the dead. He does it for senior citizens. He will talk to the widow's husband or the widower's wife, find out where all of the essential papers of the family are, and then help them organize their money. In one case, $37,000 was taken out of a checking account, which he said he paid off some bills. So there's been some questions. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how you check the actual credentials of a medium who crosses over, but he does call John Edward, who is a famous crossing over guy, a scumbag and a con artist. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Jim Sadler is a man who claims that he can cross over, that is, contact, talk to the spirits of recently deceased individuals. He has an actual business where people can pay him a fee, and you talk to the deceased husband or wife of a senior citizen, correct?
That is right, Phil, and we do it from their home. And we do it with great respect.
And you claim that the deceased husband or wife will let that living husband or wife know where the money is, where the PIN numbers are, where the credit cards are, and they'll be able to get their affairs in order.
That is also correct. You've got a lot of seniors out there that are being taken advantage of.
Well, I'm going to... All right, before I ask you any questions, you do it in the home, and you say you put the... You put yourself, you put the other person into a trance?
Yeah, I use hypnosis, and I come into the home, and you have to pay respect to what it is you're about to do. And that is, you are about to contact the spirits of the dead. I come into the room, I have a portable pipe organ, which provides a trance-like music, which I play, and which affords the subject to get into this hypnotic state and allows me to also get into a hypnotic state where the spirit of the dead spouse can enter.
Can you give us an example when you say hypnotic music?
All right. This is a portable pipe organ that I keep, and I can bring this into any home, and I can give it a... Can you hear me, Phil?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's like... Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
La, 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 la. And it's very... Okay. See what I'm doing? It's very spooky.
You play this while the...
You're playing this while...
What is that song?
It's something that I wrote. I wrote this for the trance-like... Okay, so... Really what we're trying to do is...
So that's something you wrote that you play?
You play to put the people into the trance. Okay?
Because it's really spooky? I mean...
No, it's just, it affords respect for the dead. Keep in mind, again, that we're contacting the spirits of the dead. You have to have appropriate atmosphere. The dead will not be mocked. And the dead, if they are disrespected, will come back and be upset with you. And this is where we have hauntings. I also use a smoke machine, so I can show you here. I'll play the song. Now, you can't see the smoke here.
So what, you got a smoke machine going?
Huh?
You got a smoke machine?
Right. And I get the subject to show me a picture of the one that the dead, you know, whatever it is, a husband or wife. Then I shake and I vibrate. I said, prepare for the spirit to enter me. And as I vibrate, that's when I give the subject a small dose of Rohypnol or a relaxant. And see, so I'm being respectful to the dead, all right? Now, once I do that, then they're in the
trance.
In the trance. Then the dead one comes into me, and then he tells me where everything is.
So the dead husband or wife will tell you where everything is. I got to tell you, Mr. Sadler, that the story you're telling me right now, given the fact that at least one woman went to the police saying that you stole money, sounds pretty flimsy.
Again, you're guilty of blasphemy.
And I don't buy the blasphemy thing either. I think that what you're saying is you put these people under either in a hypnotic trance or you are drugging them with Rohypnol. Then you go through the house, go through their files, looking for credit cards and PIN numbers.
So you're accusing me of stealing?
This isn't news to you.
Well, Mr. Henry, I saved that woman from two metal kneecaps by paying off her debts.
So what do you mean by two metal kneecaps?
I mean there were goons looking to break her knees because of things her husband had done. And she goes to the police. I paid these guys off. There's some things that Miss Breckenridge was doing. I make sure that the old lady is out, I mean, not the old lady, but the senior citizen is out by flashing a light in their eyes, and if they don't flinch, I'm good to go through the stuff, see? Okay? Then the smoke machine, the organ, then I flash the light, okay? If the medicine don't work and the old people don't relax, I put on a pair of glasses with spirals on them, on each lens. Then as they stare into my eyes, see, I squirt morphine from a flower in my lapel.
Oh, turn it off, okay?
Huh?
Turn the...
What?
I said, I think you're a con man.
If I'm a con man, then there is no hope for our senior citizens.
Okay, I might believe that you can put them out with Rohypnol or put them into a trance with hypnosis. I don't believe that you put on glasses with spirals on them and they look into your eyes.
See, the senior citizen's suffering is funny to you.
No, it's not funny to me, but I've been noticing you say the old ones, like you don't even know the term. And then you squirt morphine from a flower?
Yes.
Well, where do you get all your stuff, from a joke shop?
Mr. Henry, again, I have to remind you that what you say to me, I can use in a lawsuit against you. Because
what I'm saying to you is my own opinion.
But it is slanderous. You are accusing me of committing a crime.
Well, the police investigated.
Well, they did not convict me of anything. I help old people contact the dead husbands and wives of... You know, whatever died, I don't know who they are. It's a case-by-case deal.
All right, this Ida Breckenridge, was it a husband or a wife that died?
Well, she's a woman, so I guess...
Go ahead.
It's got to be a husband.
Okay. God help you when you're drooling over a three-day bowl of soup with the electric company...
Oh, wait, that's my line. God help you when you're drooling over a three-day bowl of soup with the electric company about to turn off your power because you don't know where the money is.
Will you cut it out?
I took care of all the debts that a dead husband had accrued, and it's a very sad thing, because she was about to have a cement overcoat. And you come on here and you call me a liar. Phil, I'm going to prove it to you right here. I will contact your dead wife.
Phil, it's real. He can't talk to the dead. I can...
My wife ain't dead.
All right.
Go play your freaking organ.
wrote this.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before.
It's real spooky. That's what you gotta do when you contact the dead, get spooky. Look, well, let me ask you a question. What do you want from me? I'm trying to make a living the best way I know how, all right? I've been run out of 14 states.
Well, you're in the state of California conning old people into this stuff. I hope you get run out of this one, too.
Thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, it's freaking illegal, man.
Doing nothing illegally. Old people give me the dough. And they think it's cool when I pump on the smoke machine and I do the spiral eyeballs. And then I play this. I put this on really loud and I tuck my thingy between my legs and I dance around the house like river dance.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, how come they still have this thing with the Pledge of Allegiance? Why don't they just get rid of the God thing and get it back into schools? What is the story? Look, I like God just as much as the next guy. He's okay with me. I don't need to be chic. I don't need to be in vogue. I don't have to posture and say I don't really believe in God. Whatever. He's there, he ain't there. Maybe, I don't know. What difference does it make? There's nothing in the legal document of this country, the Constitution of the United States, that has anything in there about God. It does have freedom of religion, okay? See, the Pledge of Allegiance got thrown out of the schools, not because the Pledge of Allegiance sucks, but because there's that reference to God, which they plugged in, by the way, in the early 50s. You know the whole story, right? Well, they still have a problem with this. They can't get that Pledge of Allegiance back into school because it's got to go in with God or it don't go in at all. Is that it? I got a great idea for any of the schools out there that would like the kids to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Just pull the God reference out and you're legal. That way you don't have to do that dance. You understand? That whole legal dance where some atheist is going to have a problem and you don't have enough money. Who can afford the lawyers? Now they got a Boys and Girls Club problem in Hawaii. Because they don't want to use the word God in the club's code and membership card. And so, it's time for the government to simply move away from promoting monotheism or God, said Mitch Colley, head of Hawaii's Citizens for the Separation of Church and State. I agree with the guy. Half of these problems we wouldn't even have if it wasn't for the fact that there's some guy who wants to not only go to church, but he wants to leave church and start sending church out here and out there. Just go to church. Then you can go to church in your house, and you can live your life by example. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to living your life by example? Be a decent human being. Don't go running around telling me you're Christian. Be one. Now, there's a newsflash. There's a real interesting way to do it. That's a whole kind of different approach, isn't it? Instead of running your big fat mouth about how you're not perfect, you're just saved, or whatever it is that you stick on the back of a car, just go out and be that person. Be holy, be happy, be nice. And that goes for you Islams, too. With your head wrapped up and your 15 day times a day with the prayers, ain't that just whoopee-doo, man? Get out and live a decent life. If Islam is a religion of peace, if it is a decent religion, go out and show me. Go out and live right. You know, I got a problem. I know you're probably going to think that I'm just a complete and utter chauvinist American. I got a kind of a problem with religions that have to wear a uniform. You know what I'm saying? I really do. I really do. I got a problem with it. I got a big problem with it. I'm in Hawaii with my wife, right? And we're listening to two cats playing a ukulele. We're getting hammered on Chi-Chi's with a couple of three or four other couples. We're having a ball. What do you think walks into the middle of this looking as somber and as sour and as put out by the whole experience as you could possibly imagine? This family of Muslims, four of the women all done up with the hair and the what are the things they wear? What is it? It wasn't a burqa, but they had the thing on the head. And they came in, the women, trailing behind the men, and the men looked all pissed off and bothered by the music and the atmosphere. They looked real, they did not look happy. They're wearing that Muslim gear that the women wear, because this is their religion. Oh, okay. That's great. Well, guess what? I got a problem with that. Just like I had a problem with the nuns when I was in grade school. As a Catholic kid, I'd see these nuns walk in wearing those black hoods and those white bands over the head and under the chin. Jesus, you thought, what's next, the Iron Maiden? Why don't you just stick your head in one of those? I thought that looked pretty whack, too. Just stop announcing what religion you are. Cut it out, will you? Live the life. Live the life. Live by example. You know, didn't the guy say there in the good book, act as if ye had faith and faith will be, you know. But the problem we're having today, as we've had for the last, I don't know, several hundred years most likely, is that religion becomes a badge, it becomes an armband, it becomes a headband, it becomes headgear, it becomes a rifle and a pair of boots and a helmet. Next thing you know, you got a whole uniform that says Christian. And then you got another one that says Muslim. And you ain't got a religion anymore. You just got a couple of jackasses is what you got. Two people who claim that they're a certain faith but cannot remotely contact a point in their life when they actually lived it. Look, I saw some Amish walk in to the Hana Motel bar there, and they're having kind of a hard time with the music. And I said, get your ass out of here. How about that? With your headband, you know, with your little bonnets and your whacked-out hats and your overalls, bug off into the buggy. Get into the buggy, whip the pony, and get out of here, yeah? So this is the thing. If I see Muslims walking down the street with their headbands and their hair gear, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Because I won't disrespect you, but I got a big fat flash for you. This is America. We drink. We have sex. We don't have sex. We don't drink. We smoke. We don't smoke. We play music. We don't play music. We curse. Maybe we do and maybe we don't, okay? Maybe we're too loud and maybe we're not loud enough. Maybe we're too materialistic and maybe we're not too materialistic. Maybe we have Disneyland and maybe we don't. And maybe by mistake we might shake your wife's hand, which I know is against the laws of Islam because that means that I've actually given her equal status. Or whatever your problem happens to be, you better get just suck it up and realize where you are. So do me a favor, and I realize I can't get this done because nobody's going to listen to me, but we could solve all the problems in the world, seriously, at least in this country, if we could take Under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, take the freaking God reference out of your Boys and Girls Club, if that is so legal, even though the Boys and Girls Club does business with the public, so yeah, you would have to, and pray and go to church and all of that. And you know what? I don't need to know what religion you are. I would much rather see you practice it, actually be that person, than tell me what you are. I don't need to see your bumper sticker. Don't need to see the Jesus fish. Don't need to see your towel on your head. Don't need to see you bowing 18 times a day toward Mecca. I don't need to see you growing your beard, growing your curly locks, growing your funky-looking dopey-ass hats, whatever it is that you wear as you adopt the uniform of what religion you wear. Like, I'm going to be impressed. I'm not impressed. What's impressive to me is somebody actually living the life. That impresses the hell out of me. When I find somebody that's the genuine article, man, I think it's great. I'll sit down and I'll rap with them all night. But if it's just a lot of sour-looking people with the towel wrapping going on and the five times to Mecca, but they got a problem with every single thing they see and they look suspiciously at everybody, hey, you know what? Then yeah, go home. These guys, you should have seen these two guys. They looked like it was the biggest pain in the ass that they were in Hawaii. They looked like it was a huge pain in the rear end that there were two guys up there in multicolored shorts playing ukuleles, and everybody's throwing back a couple of, you know, nice cold ones, and the waves are crashing outside, and the moon is shining on high, and the beautiful palm trees are swaying this way and that, and there's a good-looking waitress saying, "Anything else, sir?" And it's just, it's fantastic. And these guys are sitting there wrapping the towels around their heads, and they look like it's just horrible. And you talk about hot. Then we hiked up that trail to the waterfall. How do you put your woman through that? I'm just asking a question. How do you put her through that, making her wrap that towel around her head if you're going on a hike that's up through like 85 degree humidity? I passed them on the trail the next day. They were going up to the waterfall. And the women, not the guys. The guys, you know, they got their shirts open and they're cool. But the women are all wrapped up, sweating their asses off. And at least, I don't know how you do it. I don't know, you know. Doesn't look like anything I want to do. Any more than I want to be a nun. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Boy, what a great show today, huh? Fantastic. You know, I hear a lot of guys do that on the air. They'll say, "Well, we had a great show today." I always think, how do you know? I always hear these guys at these shows, at the end of the show, "Well, thanks a lot for listening to the Joe Blow Show. Man, what a great show today. Hi, everybody. Hey, yeah, it's a great show." And thinking, no, it wasn't, but okay, if you think so. So we're going to start doing it. Ah, it's a great show. We had a great show today. Okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, the new movie Blue Crush, which features chick surfers, is out. And we are starting to see women out there on a beach now. Women are toting the boards down to the sand, wearing either a wetsuit top or no wetsuit top at all, but they're out there. And Janice saw a few on Malibu Beach over the weekend. She said, and I'm quoting now, "They looked ridiculous. They don't know how to surf." So there's some good women surfers out there, but you generally don't see them. But with this movie, you know, they're going to be everywhere. Here's Marcello on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes, sir. Phil, I got to give it to you. And again, it was a great show.
Yeah.
It was definitely. Basically, adding to what you just said, you're 100% right. Something that I want to bring up, I'll make it short here. Every religion takes time out of the people who follow it to do their stuff. For example, Catholics, they get to set up themselves from 8 o'clock in the morning to go to church, and they pray for whatever time in church.
Yeah, and it's like an hour and a half to do that.
Exactly.
Then you got to go light some candles, and you got to go to confession, and then you got to...
The whole protocol.
Yeah, man, now, it's like you can't get anything done during the day because you spend about half of it doing all your religion stuff.
In the eyes of God, whichever religion, it doesn't matter which one, whichever it is, you know, any religion you pick, if you measure the amount of time...
You say in the eyes of God?
In the eyes of whoever is looking out there.
Okay.
Which one will have more weight? The person who goes to a homeless house, to a children's house to help disadvantaged children, elderly people for 1 hour, or the person that just goes to a beauty salon, takes a dress and goes to church on Sunday.
I think the one who goes
way more.
I think the one who goes to the beauty salon and I swear to God, I think the better you look in church, you're going to heaven. And you got to go to church with that mink stole out of the mothballs. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I would go to mass and I would like sit there, and there's little Philip Hendry, you know, all of seven, and I'd have my little hands clasped and the mass is going, and I go, "What in the hell is that stench?" The old ladies that sat in front of us had taken their mink coats out of mothballs. Does anybody use those anymore? And I'm telling you, you might as well have your head shoved up a cat's rear end. That's what it smelled like. No, to answer that gentleman's question, God loves good-looking people and well-dressed people. And if you go to Mass looking like a slob and a bum and you die that day, You're going to burn. I mean, you're going to cook. But if you go to mass that day with the mink stole out of the mothballs, at least if you make an effort, you shine your shoes, you brush your teeth, use a little Brill cream, you're going to look, you know, you're going to look good. You're going to go to heaven. You know, that guy made a really good point. How much time does it take? Okay, I got to go to church, then I got to go and do the prayers, and I got to go and I've got to help out at the prayer house, and then I got to go and do the... You know, you get so wrapped up in being in your religion, you never have time for the outside world. You don't know what the hell they're doing. I went through a thing once. Look, I don't mean to... I'm not putting the Christians down. I think I spent a pretty good amount of time putting down Muslims, so I think it's... I've been doing some equal time today. But I went to a Christian party one night. Swear to God. I was invited to this party, and it was a Christian party. Well, they had their own stand-up comic. They had a Christian stand-up comic. And the guy's rapping about having kids, and he was funny. But they had the Christian stations, the radio stations, Christian movies. You know, you're supposed to live in the world, my man. You're not supposed to just isolate yourself and insulate yourself and get into a hermetically sealed bubble and everything out there is evil and wrong and bad and the only people that you love are other Christians. This guy that knock, knock, who's there? Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ. Speaking of church and religion and all of the things that are important to us as individuals and the salvation of our soul, visit our souvenir shop on our website. Yes, philhendryshow.com can help you out. That's philhendryshow.com. While on our website, click on any little links you see there about our Las Vegas trip. It's coming up, and it's going to be happening very soon. Within about 6 weeks, we're going to Las Vegas. We will gamble. We will eat. You can see the show. We'll do the show live all 3 hours. Then we'll have a cocktail reception, and I say a cocktail reception. You know what I'm talking about. They'll hand you a plastic cup, and they'll just pull down one of those taps, and mostly foam will come out. It's going to be fantastic. So Jesus walks into an inn with three nails in his hand. He hands to the innkeeper, and he says, "Can you put me up for the night?" Anyway, that's what the kind of jokes this guy's saying. Jesus woke up feeling a little cross one morning, and you know... Anyway, you know, just go to our website. It'll be fine. That's philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. While there, as I say, visit the souvenir shop. Pick up the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, named by Los Angeles Magazine as an instant collectible. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available on our website. Comes in royal blue and black. It is sweet. It is hand-stitched, hand-monogrammed. None of this, it ain't no, you know, iron-on jazz. And then we also have, of course, the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. That's sweet. That's black and silver with the logo on the front. And on the back, it says, "We take take a peek over the shoulder of the police." That's available as well in our souvenir shop. And if you don't have any of our best of CDs, you're going to have to pick those up, too. Those available in the souvenir shop from 97 through 2001. It won't be long now. We'll have another best of CD coming out, the best of the year 2002. And with all the material that we had this year, it ought to be a double, triple, four-sider. I mean, four CD or something. So it's all there on the Phil Henry Show website. That's philhendryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jason. Hello, Jason.
How you doing, Phil?
Fine.
That's good. I'm just driving here and listening to what you have to say. And I understand the point you're trying to make about the religiousness that goes on in saying that you're either a Christian or what have you. When you look at our society and our country, I think one thing that stands out for me is that we live in the strongest, most wealthy nation in the world. And I don't think that's a mistake. I think that has to do with the Judeo-Christian belief system that our nation is based on. And you look at different Muslim religions.
All right. If you're going to take the good, then you got to take the bad. Why do we have so many criminals? And why do we have so much perverse crime?
I don't think God said this would be a perfect world.
If you're going to take the credit for America, then you're going to have to also take some of its blame. You can't just say... Jason, you can't just say, the reason why we're such a success... You know, the old saying, success has many fathers, failure is an orphan. You're going to say it's a success because of Christianity. Then you also have to look at what aspects of society has failed. And you also have to hang that on the Judeo-Christian ethic, perhaps. Thank you. Thank you.